Phil Mickelson finishing up his round minus four as he finishes up the 18th. Masters coverage presented by Baptist Sports Medicine, Wooded View Golf Course, and Kentucky Farm Bureau. Updates coming up throughout the rest of today, and then we've got full round coverage starting at 2 o'clock Saturday and Sunday for you. 267-968 is the phone number. We'll play some sports or leisure coming up in just a little bit. It is a Friday at 4 o'clock. We bounce around the country a couple minutes at a time. We will head down to Miami. We find our man Kevin Rogers, WQAM and Vegas Insiders. K-Raj, how are you, sir?
Jason, good. How are you?
I am doing just fine. Can you describe what the last week, 2 weeks have been like around Miami and around the Heat with Dwayne Wade getting closer and closer to the end of his career and then ultimately that last home game?
Yeah, it was a lot of emotion with the Heat. You know, unfortunately, they didn't make the playoffs. I mean, you know, part of it is, well, they would have got swept or lost in five to Milwaukee. So it's not like, you know, they would have made this great run in the postseason. But at the same time, though, this, you know, this Heat team, I think, was revitalized a bit. I mean, that and also the fan base just by Dwayne Wade's presence over the last year and a half with this team, just simply because this is a Heat team that had nothing. There was no excitement at all. And even though Dwayne Wade was at the end of the line, he still provided, you know, a couple highlights here and there. And for what he did for the franchise, I think that the proper send-off was for him to end his career in a Heat uniform.
Was there ever a thought, and I know that, you know, it's been a couple of years, but was there ever a thought that, you know, that sort of issue between he and Pat Riley would never be resolved and he would get to the end of his career and it'd be one of those to where, man, you wish he would have just put on the jersey one more time for a great send-off?
Yeah, I mean, I think after everything that happened, I think him coming back, that people kind of just, you know, they've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
That it's not about you know, what happened a few years ago, that it was, you know, kind of a messy divorce, and it just, you know, didn't look very good for either party. But yet, you know, for him to come back, because the Heat, in a sense, were so desperate to have someone like him back, that I think they were like, you know what, I don't think you ever want to leave in the first place, that, you know, Pat Riley made a decision to sign Hassan Whiteside and not sign Dwayne Wade to a long-term deal. And Wade said, fine, I'll go to Chicago. And I think Wade realized after going to Chicago, it probably wasn't the right move. So, you know, just by luck or whatever you want to call it, when LeBron James wanted to break up that Cavs team last year, and Dwayne Wade, instead of just going somewhere else, now he gets to go back to Miami, everybody kind of won in this whole thing. So, you know, I really believe that what happened a few years ago, you know, has kind of been erased, and this is now the moment that he's able to end his career with a triple-double and end his career, you know, with it, you know, being the by far not only the top player in Heat franchise history, but also probably in Miami franchise and Miami sports history.
Yeah, I was going to say it would have been, you know, it's one of those cliches or what's the Mount Rushmore, but do you think he is number one?
I think he's number one for a few reasons. One, because he's won the championships.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dan Marino obviously was the first one here, but also Dan Marino never had any competition with any other sports teams here. That there was no Panthers, there was no Marlins, there was no Heat. I mean, for the most part, for the bulk of his career. And then all of them, when they came in, they were all expansion teams. So they weren't good anyway. So you had nothing to compete with. But Wade won a championship by himself. He won two more with LeBron and Bosch. And for this generation of, you know, fans under 30, they all look at Dwayne Wade as the number one athlete in South Florida sports. The problem with Marino is for the older generation, yes, but you know, if you're 25, 26 years old, you know nothing about Dan Marino, you know, so you might as well be Bob Greasy, you know. So I think that the just the fan base looks at him that way, too. And, you know, there's no slight to being number two all time down here. But, you know, for Wade, just, you know, everything. I mean, Marino's done a ton for the community, too, just like Wade has. But, you know, winning the championships, you know, pretty much, I think, put him over the top.
What do you think his second act is going to be, if you were guessing, in his career now?
I think business. I don't think he's going to be a coach. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he wants to do, you know, ownership or anything like that. I think he's a guy that just wants to continue. You know, I think he had some kind of like sock business or something like that that he had started. And I think that, you know, he, not saying he could never do anything again and be fine, but I just don't think that, you know, coaching or any of that for him, I don't think I think he's solidified. I think other guys would probably want to do it, but you know, I really believe he'll find other ventures to, you know, to go after and be totally fine. Or if he's ever, you know, I don't know what to call it, a team ambassador or whatever they want to call these, you know, phony job titles for these organizations. But something like that, fine. But, you know, I don't know if he'd do TV or not. I'm not sure if he'd want to do that. But, you know, I think probably like something in business would probably, you know, be up his alley.
Do you think he'd be interested? I know LeBron has said for a while that one thing he wants to do before it's over is being in ownership. Do you think if LeBron's getting into ownership, if Wade might join in, at least maybe in an investor side of it, if that might be something he dabbles in as the ownership side of basketball?
I'm not sure. I mean, if it was like a small stake, maybe, yeah. But I don't know about, you know, being, you know, like a Michael Jordan where you're running, you know, a team like the Hornets.
Right.
It's just there's too much, I think, pressure there where, you know, other owners, you know, it doesn't tarnish the legacy of other guys because you don't know who they are for the most part. The exception of like three owners in the NBA, a lot of them, the common people don't know. So, you know, I just think that, you know, you get into that. I just don't know how much more that you help yourself. You know, I don't think you help your legacy. I don't know if you just want to leave it alone. So that's kind of where, again, I don't know what he's thinking, but that's where I'm not sure if he wants to just get involved in that.
Is there a thought of the Dolphins, last one, as they have, the 13th pick in the draft or the 11th? I can't remember one of those two.
13th.
Is there a way they or a spot they are leaning, position or anything like that they are leaning for, 2 weeks from yesterday for the draft?
Anybody?
I mean, a football player?
Like, I mean, it's at this point, they're not in a position to say, we need this one position, and now this is going to put us over the top. I mean, you know, you look down the roster, I don't think they're going to go for a quarterback in the first round. I mean, they just signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I think they're going to wait for a quarterback, at least picking it high for next year if they don't have a good season this year. I mean, the Dolphins, their MO is either a cornerback or an offensive lineman in the first round, and really it's just, you know, there's never anything exciting about it. The only receiver that they've drafted in the first round has been Devontae Parker in the last 10 years or so. So I just look at this team as finding the best player available, probably, I'd say. Yeah.
Kevin Rogers, WQAM and Vegas Insiders there in Miami. K-Rog, as always, man, great stuff. Appreciate the time, sir.
All right, Jason, got it. See you.
We're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona.
To Arizona we go. Phoenix, Tim Ring, Arizona 3 TV Sports and CBS 5 Sports. Tim, how are you, sir?
Good, man. You are just whipping around the country, aren't you?
We are trying to get all the latest. Absolutely. Mike Magic, my producer, promised me that the next stop is Tiger's caddy. So we're going to see how he's playing. So he's about to...
I did. I just didn't say today.
Ah, darn it. Well, anytime, by the way, we'll take him. He's about 25 feet on the green with an eagle opportunity right now. So we'll catch in with Tiger's caddy to see what that green looks like. But in the meantime, the future for Arizona State still continues to look like Bobby Hurley. What's the reaction around there as Bobby Hurley stays there at Arizona State?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of a relief, you know, a little bit of an exhale. I mean, I don't think anybody seriously thought that he would leave, but until we heard the words come out of his mouth or via a statement, in this case, Jace, I think people had, you know, at least a concern that that job may have been attractive to him for the sole reason that it was back east and it was basically home for him. You know, St. John's, listen, we could debate this for an hour. Is that a better job than Arizona State? I would say no, and I would say that because it's not 1987 anymore, and I think when you look at where that program is now and where Arizona State is currently and the potential of where Arizona State could be under Bobby's direction, I just think the only reason Bobby even literally or figuratively took their call was because it was the attractiveness maybe of going back home. You know, his brother Danny obviously coaches back east. His dad still lives back east. So I think that gave Bobby some pause. And at the end of the day, like a lot of coaches do, he ended up getting another year on his contract and probably a little bit of a raise. You know, he's building something here, and he likes it here. And let me tell you something. Anybody that's ever visited Arizona, except for 4 months of the year, not a bad place to live. Scottsdale, Arizona, not a bad place to be. And I think when you weigh maybe – you know, living in Queens and shoveling snow, not that he'd have somebody do that for him. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good spot to be out here. And I think he's put a lot of time and effort into the last 4 years, spent to back-to-back tournaments, just beat St. John's in the tournament. I just think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he considered it for a brief moment because it was home. Mike Rapoli, the big St. John's booster who sold, you know, vitamin water to Coke for $1 zillion, you know, had some money to throw his way and probably could have paid that $3 million buyout with the loose change in his pocket. But I think Bobby probably said, listen, if you want me to take that job, man, I need about $4 million a year for 5 years. And obviously St. John's wasn't ready to do that. And Bobby said, all right, well, you know, carry on.
I was going to ask a couple of things. One of it that popped up to my mind when you talked about his brother, family being out east. I wonder if the fact of if he took the St. John's job, there might be battles head to head against his brother for a recruit. I do wonder if that may have played a role in that of, you know what, I'm out in the West. I'm recruiting different players at Arizona State. But if I'm at St. John's, we're recruiting the same area and it might be head to head for a recruit. Maybe I don't want to go down that road.
You know what? That's a great point. I had not thought of that. And, you know, was that high on the list of reasons to end up not taking the job? You know, I don't know if that was the top three or four, but would that have crossed his mind? That's a great point, Jason. I mean, maybe it did. I mean, certainly, you know, listen, if everybody's going after the same four and five stars, maybe they'll still cross paths anyway. But yeah, obviously the background recruiting area, the backyard recruiting area, a little different when you're at UConn and St. John's than maybe when you're at UConn and Arizona State. But yeah, you know, listen, Bobby and Danny remain extremely close, as everybody knows. You know, Danny was out there at the NCAA tournament game, big hugs for Bobby on the court after it ended. And yeah, they obviously still have that strong relationship, and you know, Bobby coached under Danny for a brief period there. And yeah, maybe those recruiting battles in the offing was not something that Bobby wanted a part of day in and day out.
You mentioned building something, so the faith is still there in Bobby Hurley.
Listen, man, Arizona State basketball, I mean, I don't have to tell people that live in Louisville, has been pretty much a non-entity in the history of the sport, right? I mean, they had a brief run in 1981 where they had Byron Scott and Fat Lever. Now, you got to be at least 50 years old to remember that team, which ended up really doing nothing of significance in the NCAA tournament. Then they had a brief blip with James Harden 10 years ago, ended up really winning one game in the NCAA tournament with James Harden. You know, so they've really historically been a nothing program. They just really haven't, you know. So what he's done in 4 years, he's recruited four and five star kids. He just had a one and done, which is not great for the program, but I do think it signifies that your top caliber kids are considering your program. When a kid like Luke Genstort comes into the program, five-star kid, stays for 1 year and he leaves. Okay, so he's getting four and five-star kids to either sign on the dotted line or at least consider Arizona State. He's had them in the tournament in back-to-back years. They haven't done that since 1981. He won a tournament game. It was a first four game, but still a tournament game. So, you know, listen, he hasn't made the Sweet 16. He obviously hasn't made a huge buzz in the national rankings, save a brief run 2 years ago when he got up to number three in the country. But compared to where this program has been, he's brought stability. He's brought excitement. There are fannies in the seats, which has never happened. I've been in this market for a decade, and that place has been a ghost town under Herb Sendek. A ghost town. But Bobby's playing people out of conference. He's playing an exciting brand of basketball. They're defending people. And he's bringing in a higher caliber of recruit, and people are coming up. They're coming out to watch, you know. So there's an excitement about the program that, you know, we haven't seen in quite some time here. So I mean, yeah, listen, they've got a long way to go to get up to that upper echelon. But if you talk about the word trending, they are trending that way. You know, there's no question about it. He's been the best thing to happen to that program probably since James Harden.
So on the flip side, on Arizona, maybe trending the other way, is there an update or do we know what the latest or what could end up being with Sean Miller? Maybe just a wait and see with this trial that starts a week from Monday?
You know what, man? I'm telling you, you say trending the other way, check the recruiting rate.
True.
Who's got the number one class in the country coming in, right? Sean Miller, you can't kill this guy. He's like Jason from Friday the 13th. Right. You can't take him down. And let me tell you something. I know, you know, that when he grabbed the mic after the last game and he said, thank you, and it sounded like a going away speech, and the national media kind of jumped on that. If you're on social media, there's no question it came across your timeline, and it was, well, Sean Miller's clearly saying goodbye. as more time goes by, I think this guy is going to survive. I mean, if he was on tape and they had him, it would have come out already like Will Wade down at LSU. I mean, if they had it, they would have had him by now. Now, you know, I know he's been subpoenaed and all that stuff. And listen, you never say never, and maybe a smoking gun eventually will emerge. But until it does, I'm starting to wonder. And, you know, last time we talked, I think it was about a month ago, I said, you know, the two guys that I trust the most down in Tucson that cover this program believe he's going to survive. And a month ago, I wasn't so sure that they were right. 30 days later, I'm starting to think that they're right.
Yeah. I think
come November, when that ball gets tipped, Sean Miller is going to be on that sideline with the number one recruiting class of the country on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, the next couple weeks could be really interesting with this trial. Hey, very quickly, a couple of top picks coming up for a couple of Phoenix pro teams, with the Suns now third best lottery odds to win the number one pick, and then the Cardinals do have the number one pick. Very quickly, is it Kyler Murray 2 weeks from yesterday as the number one pick for the Cardinals, or going a different direction?
You know what? Everybody you talk to, and I mean everybody around the NFL, not the Cardinals, they're playing their cards, right, no pun intended, close to the vest. Everybody you talk to says they're taking Kyler Murray. And the million-dollar question is, and this is what we can't figure out, and those of us that are in that building multiple times a week, are the Cardinals bluffing to try to drum up a trade, to trade out of that pick? You know, and I think the Raiders are backing off, and we just don't know. But Kyler Murray was here this past week visiting. All signs still point to a Josh Rosen trade and a Kyler Murray pick at number one. And if that happens, I won't be shocked, but that would be really something else. To make all those trades for Josh Rosen 1 year ago and end up with Kyler Murray as the number one pick in 2019. As for the Suns, I don't know. They're garbage. I've given up.
What's the?
I don't know. I don't care who they pick. They just hired an inexperienced guy again.
I know.
They had their operations in James Jones, nice guy, might have a bright future, but again and again, the owner hires people in high powered positions who have zero experience, and it continues to bite them in the ass, and they end up being the worst franchise every year in the NBA. I don't know what to tell you.
What is the what is the tiebreaker then? Because I know they go through the. Is it a coin flip with the Cavs and the Phoenix Suns?
Yeah, between the Cavs and the Suns to figure out, you know, the deal there. They're actually doing it like soon today.
Yeah.
I believe it's a coin flip.
Well, we'll see.
That's how they're breaking it. But you know, it's everybody's going to have the same. The three worst teams have the same chance at the number one pick.
Yep.
What the tiebreaker determines is who could fall to as far as seven.
Right. Right.
So So that's why you want to win that tiebreaker.
Yep.
You're not gonna have a better chance at number one, but you have a better chance of not falling to seven.
Absolutely. Tim Ring, Arizona 3 TV Sports, and also CBS 5. As always, man, really good stuff. I certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy the weekend, and should be a fun couple months with some top draft picks coming. Phoenix.
Yeah, you too, brother. We'll talk to you after the draft. All right, man.
All right, brother. See you.
You got it.
All right. There's a full court press on this Friday edition of the show. It's ESPN 680 105.7. We will have a little sports or leisure coming up on the other side of the break, and we will be going through the sports side. We'll go through the leisure side. We'll tell you all of those things and the categories and everything like that as well. Tiger Woods right now with his second shot on what is the 9th or the 10th. He is on the green. Good night. Barely on the green. This middle game has been terrible today. Just awful. Shut up, Locke. So that's what's going on right now. We got updates that'll continue right here on ESPN 680 105.7 and full round coverage tomorrow and also Sunday starting at 2 o'clock as well. So that's going on down in Augusta. And you know what's going on here in Kentucky, whether it's Cleveland Keeneland, Churchill Downs, all of that stuff with the horse racing. It is up and running. Horse racing fans, you know the best time of the year is right now. Drew Deaner's horse in action today. The I was wrong. It's 2.756 percentage that he owns of that. Repeating, of course, all of that going on. And Keeneland still rolling. TVG's got you covered, I can tell you that much. Download the TVG app today or go to TVG.com/Jason for this exclusive offer. TVG is going to double your first deposit up to $100 within 15 days. And wait, there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, TVG will give you an extra $200, or excuse me, an extra $20 to bet on so you can play with $220. You give them $100. You deposit $100, and in 15 days, they give you $100, and with the code Jason, they're going to give you a free $20. So that $100 is going to be $220 as at that point. Mobile app, easy to use, best for making horse racing bets. You're walking around. You don't have to go to the brick and mortar. You don't have to necessarily be in front of a computer. The mobile app right there. Choose the winners. Get the big money from wherever you are as well. You can watch the horse racing live with the Amazon Fire Stick, the Roku. We got the Apple TV at home. You've got that as well with TVG. Again, it's the most exciting time in horse racing, and it is underway. Sign up with TVG today. Make a first deposit. They will match it up to $100 within 15 days. And wait, there's more. If you make your first deposit of $100 or more, you get an extra free $20. Do not miss out on this exclusive offer. Just download the TVG app or go to www.tvg.com/Jason and sign up. That's tvg.com/Jason. Age and residency restrictions apply. Void where prohibited by law. See full terms and conditions at tvg.com/Jason. We'll take a timeout, come back, and we will play a little sports or leisure. 267-9680 is the phone number. We will tell you what the categories are. Get the sports side, get the leisure side. Dave Skull is going to join us, Biggest Biscuit. He'll be a part of the show as well with a little sports or leisure coming your way. That is next. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
All the latest news from the people who are there. The Full Court Press on Kentuckiana's ESPN 680.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.